All right. Sabbath blessings, everybody. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we worship you, we praise you, and we love you. Bless us as we come together in worship and in study. Give us understanding. Let it cut deep within our hearts. Change our characters. Let us go forth and share these words with others. Thank you for giving us ample time to get ready so that we can help others get ready too. And thank you for sending them into our lives. Thank you for letting us live in this last days. We could have been born so long ago, but you chose us to live now. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list with answered prayer, especially the ones that are ailing or having attacks. We have many that are asking for prayer, spoken and unspoken requests, and we know that you have your loving arms around them as well, and we thank you for that. Thank you for healing Sister Souls out in Oregon with her ailment or whatever it is that's going on. And we thank you for your perfect will being done there. Bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak today and bless us with a new understanding as you change the showbread on your Sabbath day. And thank you so much for the Sabbath day, a day that we can come together and rest and think of you and all that you have created. Thank you so much for that and all these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're still in last day events. For those of you that are wondering, we may have found a place to do the convocation. Brother Dick and I went for a cruise yesterday, and I didn't recall it being that big on the inside before, but it is pretty big in there. You think it's small. I mean, that's how I remembered it. It was small. But when I looked in the window, and all the chairs were all, you know, out. She's got 45 chairs plus all those benches on the side of the walls. It's bigger than Calusa or Anna.
I think so.
It's a little bit bigger, and it's got a real nice platform out front for. It's not just a square platform. It's got like a carved looking platform, you know, like some kind of angled platform for the speakers, and it's like a pulpit area. There is no pulpit. It's a raised platform. The floor is raised, but there's no place that you could actually stand and put a pulpit. I mean, you can stand anywhere you want, or lectern or whatever, but there's something out there. It looks like they put like a portable pulpit on top of it, but I didn't see a pulpit in there, so we might have to bring this thing, you know, this generic-looking lectern, pulpit, whatever you want to call it, Fran. The pulpit is the raised floor. Everybody calls the pulpit this thing. This is a lectern, and then the raised floor is the pulpit. I'm going to look it up in a dictionary, okay, Fran? Okay. I will look that one up. But anyway, you know how the meeting halls are usually like the motels and hotels out here where they have the meeting halls. They're anywhere from $200 to $500 a day to rent them. This one's $50 a day because it's a Grange. It's like a community building. So... we're going to, that one church that we used to go to, they used to run it as a church. So we're hoping, and there's room on the side of either side of the building to put up a tent if we have to. It does have a bathroom and a kitchen, but we might need to eat outside. And I'm figuring early fall because the windows are sealed shut and there is no heat. I mean, the windows are sealed shut and there's no air conditioning. There is heat. No, the windows are sealed shut. It wouldn't do no good to bring that air conditioner. You got to get one of those roll-around air conditioners that you could put into a room without a window. They're like $500. If worse comes to worse, we'll get one of those. If we have a meeting in spring or summer, which you'd need, you know, I would think. Anyway, that's just some announcements I wanted to share that things are moving along. I'm still contemplating doing a tent first. I know I'm going to do a tent eventually, but whether we'll do that, the tent first or this first, I don't know yet, because I have found a tent too. We just don't have any place to put it. So anyway, you want to click and put on F3 so that they can see you click? Did you put on F3? No, you didn't. You're not in the room. You gotta be in the room. All right. Yeah, I think, yeah, that's... All right, now just go to chapter 3. We're still in 3. We may finish chapter 3 today. Now, click manuscript. Is it manuscript 85, June 30th? Is it manuscript 85, June 30th? Yes, that's where I left off. Okay. I'm going to welcome all the new people that are here today. We got a few people. So, all right. And I only got one of these, so can't hand them out. All right. This was from manuscript 85, June 30th, 1908. All right. Christ is soon coming, and Satan knows that his time is short. As we draw near to the close of time, the cities will become more and more corrupt, and more objectionable as places for establishing centers of our work. The dangers of travel will increase, like terrorists and whatnot. The dangers of travel will increase. Confusion and drunkenness will abound. If there can be found places in retired mountain regions where it would be difficult for the evils of the city to enter, let our people secure such places for our sanitariums and advanced schools. In the mountains, that'd be nice to have a big old sanitarium or whatever in the mountains. It's nice just to have a house up there. I was up there at the Sessler house. That was real nice to have that. Let parents understand that the training of the children, of their children, is an important work in saving of souls. In country places, abundant, useful exercise will be found in doing those things that need to be done, and will give physical health by developing nerve and muscle. That's another thing I noticed about living out here is, out in the middle of nowhere, you have a tendency to go outside a lot, walk a lot, do things around the house a lot. In the city, you step out of your house, you walk around, you look at it, you walk back in. When I lived up in the suburbs, it was, once in a while, we started doing the walking thing with JR and his wife, remember? We used to do the walk around at night when it was cool. But it would have been better to do the walk during the day, wouldn't you think? For the sunlight. Well, I don't know. Air pollution is minuscule to something. I know there's a lot of air pollution up there. It's not like California, where they're in a valley and you got that smog that settles in, and you got that where it's really, really thick. You can actually see your air that you're breathing. Caught me off guard there. Huh? Yeah. I know. All right, continuing. It says, in country places, abundant, useful exercise will be found in doing these things that need to be done, and which will give physical health by developing nerve and muscle. Out of the cities is my message for the education of our children. It is Satan's purpose to attract men and women to the cities, and to gain this object, he invents every kind of novelty and amusement, every kind of excitement. He doesn't mention convenience, but that's one of the things I liked about living up there, is like when I started doing the ministry a little bit more so, and I was, making the tracks and stuff like that, I had a computer at home. But it wasn't very cost-effective to make the track on your computer and print out about, 500 of them. The ink is expensive. So what I would do is I would make the track or whatever, make one copy, and then drive for 5 minutes, not even, around the corner to Office Depot and make 500 copies at, 2 cents a piece or something. It's really, really cheap. And plus, the nice thing about the cities is every corner you come to, there's a shop that you would frequent, you could find anything you want up there. So the devil does make it very convenient, too, living in the cities. Plus, like she's saying here, the novelty, the amusements, every kind of excitement. That's the thing that bothers me about it, because we got some loved ones that still live up there, and it's frightening. There's every kind of temptation up there. It's just not a good place to be. You don't want to raise kids there, but some people are stuck doing that for now. But I would do everything I can to try to get out of there. I remember when we came out here, we had no work, and the Lord blessed us with work after we got out here, but it took a little while. So, because he was trying our, you know, to test us and to let us know that our bread and waters will be sure. Because even during that time, we weren't, we were learning how to trust him in that way. I mean, it wasn't the time of the mark of the beast, of course, because, you know, it hasn't come yet. But he did teach us and let us know that he will take care of us. You can be out in the middle of nowhere, like we were for 16 months, no money coming in yet, but yet we had everything we needed. Continuing, it says, every kind of excitement. The cities of the earth are today becoming as were the cities before the flood. In the days before the flood, every kind of amusement was invented to lead men and women to forgetfulness and sin. Today, Satan is working with intensity that the same conditions of evil shall prevail, and the earth is becoming corrupt. Religious liberty will be little respected by professing Christians, for many of them have no understanding of spiritual things. We cannot fail to see that the Lord of the world is soon to come. Satan is working upon the minds of men and women, and many seem filled with a desire for amusement and excitement. And you can blame the television a lot for that, too. One thing I've noticed with the invention of the TV is some of the most exciting stories that you could read in the old days was from Scripture. Now, with all these exciting video games or exciting amusement parks or exciting movies, if you keep watching it over years and years and years and years and years of time, by the time you open up the Bible, it's like the exciting stories in the Bible become boring. You know, it's mind-numbingly boring. There's not enough cars flipping over and exploding. There's not enough bullets flying off. There's no roller coasters in Scripture. You know, and that the devil is planning that stuff properly. He knows what he's doing to get the mind settled in such a position where it craves excitement. And that's so sad because the Scriptures are so filled with truth, stuff that we need, that he does everything he can to make it look like it's not worth our attention. As it was in the days of Noah, every kind of evil is on the increase. Divorce and marriage is the order of the time. At such a time as this, the people who were seeking to keep the commandments of God should look for retired places away from the cities. Now, she said this in 1908, and still we have some people in the cities. They should be getting out now. The end times began a long time ago, and they should have been out of the cities back then. And some did, of course, but then some went back in. That's from what we see in history. You know, some have gone back in. And I know it's difficult to get out of the city. I remember how when we, when the Lord was pulling us away from all this and guiding us into this truth, and before we got to the truth, one of the things that he was making it so painfully obvious is we weren't supposed to stay up in the city. Like when we kept looking for places to live. Over and over and over again, because we had an opportunity at this time. We were living in a two-bedroom kitchenette. We wanted out. We were looking for a place to live. And every time we went to find a place to live, they would give it to us, but then they would change their mind. Okay? Everybody's heard me talk about this before, but my point is, it was the Lord kept closing the door and closing the door and closing the door until we decided to look away from the city, out in the boonies, like 2 hours away. And the first house we looked at, they not only gave it to us, they let us have it they gave me the keys for $50 first month. I mean, they usually want first and last month's rent, you know. And the guy gave us the keys for $50, and we moved in the following week. And then like a week later, I gave them the rent, you know, the first and last month's rent. It was amazing how quick it happened when we stepped out. You will be able to find places to live if you go out there looking, you know, away from the city, if you trust the Lord. And you will find employment. The best employment I ever had was when I got away from the city. And now the best employment I've ever had is, of course, going into the ministry full-time. You know, I can't compare that to any secular employment. It just, all of it pales in comparison, you know. Because the joy that I have in doing this is just, I never thought work could be so exciting. Because some people have jobs they like, you know. And it's, I can't imagine doing anything else. All that. Anyway, where did I leave off? All right. At such time as this, The people who are seeking to keep the commandments of God should look to, for the retired places away from the cities. We are charged with this message. Christ is coming to judge the world for her iniquity. Iniquity is known sin, of course. And the earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Then the great multitude will be without God and without hope in the world. One of the marked features of Noah's day was the intense worldliness that prevailed. Eating and drinking, buying and selling, marrying and giving in marriage, marked classes high and low. And that's today, big time. I mean, the eating and drinking, you know, it's some people are so rich in today's world and so hoard the money, like James 5:3 says. I can't understand that when I think of it, you know, especially people that claim to be Christian, like Walmart, for example. The guy that owns Walmart claims Christ as Lord, but yet there's things that he could be doing with his money that would be a little bit better, and there's things that he shouldn't be selling in the stores, in the Walmart stores and whatnot. And then you hear of all sorts of people that have large sums of money, and they don't help those that the Lord leaves them to help. I mean, can you take it with you? It's just, this isn't what life is down here. This is a testing ground. And when we get to heaven, that's when the real reality kicks in. You know, that's what life was supposed to be like for eternity. Just looking at the way the human brain works proves that. Our human brain is supposed to last, according to science today, I mean, with our limited knowledge of science, the human brain can't be exhausted. If you learn something new every second for, what was it, 8 million years or something like that? I got it from Moody, I put it on my creation page on the website, how they, and this is the pre-flood brain I'm talking about. You know how much smaller our brains are now than before the flood of Noah? Because there's evidence men were 16 feet tall, women were around 14 or 15 feet tall. So the brains are considerably smaller. So, and nobody learns something new every split second of the day. So, and if you did, you'd millions and millions of years before you can exhaust the brain. So how does an evolutionist answer that question? If we're supposed to be evolving, why is it our brain has surpassed everything else? Doesn't make sense. Continuing, or finishing up this particular quote, she says, "Who will be warned? We say again, out of the cities. Do not consider it a great deprivation that you must go into the hills and mountains, but seek for that retirement where you can be alone with God to learn His will and His way." That is precious. I especially love the midday prayer when I can get out of the house, go for a walk, get away from the computers, go out in the woods, go by the creek, walk in a field, whatever, and just be alone with God. In the city, not only do you have all the noise with the traffic and the sirens in the background and gunfire, whatever, you go into a neighborhood store, you got music piped in, you go into an elevator, there's music piped in, you go in a taxi cab, they got music playing. I mean, everywhere you go, the devil is making it absolutely impossible to be alone with your thoughts, you know? But out here, you go out there, and the only music you hear is from the birds. And I like that. And you can actually be alone with your thoughts, and then when you pray, it just seems so much more effective. Continuing, it says, "Do not consider it a privation when you are called to leave the cities and move out into the country places. Here there await rich blessings for those who will grasp them. By beholding the scenes of nature, the works of the Creator, by studying God's handiwork, imperceptibly you will be changed into the same image. I've been given a decided message to bear regarding this matter. I'm sorry. I am bidden to say to our people, prepare to meet thy God," like Amos said in chapter 4, verse 12. And so that's more or less our message today, too. John the Baptist was trying to get people to prepare to meet Messiah when he came the first time. Aren't we supposed to go out with the spirit of Elijah and get people ready to meet Messiah at the second coming? We got to get people, you know, prepared to meet thy God. And so many people just don't want to hear it. It's like Amos also said, you know, in the last days, there's not going to be hardly anybody reading the Bibles. It's going to be like a famine in the land, you know. They just don't want to read the Bibles. And when they do want to read their Bibles, what are they reading? NIVs, RSVs, Dewey Rames, NASBs, Bibles that have been rewritten that actually have copyrights in them. Because there's fiction in there. It's copyrighted. These Bibles have been proven bogus. They have over 2,000 verses missing or rewritten. We should do a thing like that one week. Just have an NIV open and have a... Because I did that once on a pulpit up near Chicago in Pastor Russ's church, where his daughter, for years, he was having a hard time trying to get his daughter to put down that NIV, remember? Russ's daughter, what was her name? I forget her name. No, his real daughter. Yeah. For years, he tried to get her to put down the NIV, and she wouldn't do it. And then when we started coming to the church, I had an NIV, and it started to annoy me. Every time we went to church, and we went to church on Wednesday, and then twice on Sunday. This is when we were Sunday keepers. And I says, this is ridiculous. Every time I go to church, he starts reading out of that King James every time I find an error in my Bible. Every day. I mean, he would read like maybe 5-10 verses. This guy was heavy into just throwing scripture out there, right? And I would find at least one a week, you know, one a day. Like, so 3 verses a week. And then he finally, you know, pulled me off to the side and says, you know, can you get where I'm going with this? You know, how the NIV is bogus. Then I ran across a tract that some preacher wrote years ago where he showed all the verses that were missing or removed or rewritten in the NIV. So what I did is I made a sermon about it. And I told everybody to bring an NIV if they had one. And if you didn't have one, we'll give you one. And if you don't have a King James, we'll give you one. Remember that? And everybody in the church had 2 Bibles in their laps. And I showed them and says, okay, now everybody go to this verse in their Bibles. And the King James first. Okay, now go to it in your NIV. Couldn't do it because it wasn't there. Or we would do, like, my favorite was 1 John chapter 5, I believe it was, where it talks about there are 3 that bear record in heaven. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are gone. That's just not there. It says the earth went in the fire or something underneath there. It just took out the Father, Son, Holy Ghost and left the next verse in where it's talked about there are 3 that bear record on earth. It totally rewrote that passage. Or like the one where it says, Jesus says how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. NIV says how hard it is to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Say nothing about a rich man. And so I'm showing all these verses, and I'm going from one to the next, one to the next. And by the end of the service, his daughter put down the NIV. Once you sit someone down, they usually catch it. I think it was 1 John chapter 5. What does it say? Verse 3-5, I think it was, or 3-6, or 6-9, maybe. I can't remember. I know it's in chapter 5, 1 John.
There are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are one. And there are 3 that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, the blood, and these 3 are agree in one.
Okay. Well, let me read you from the NIV. All right. Yeah, it's just dead air. No, but it's in there, but the newer NIVs too, because of Acts chapter 8, verse 37, has been totally removed about Philip telling the eunuch that in order to be baptized, he has to profess Christ, you know, repent and profess Christ as Lord. Well, they took that verse completely out because the Catholic Church baptizes babies. And then they found out that a bunch of us preachers were going around and telling people, says, look, verse is missing. Even the number's gone. So they put the number back in. They put the verse back in. But they took the bottom part of verse 36 and the top part of verse 38 and made a brand new 37. So they still took the verse out. It's just they made it look like it was back in. They come up with a clever, you know. Yeah, like they did with the second commandment. Okay, verse 7 in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says, for there are 3 that testify. That's it. That's it. That is verse 7. It stops. It says, there are 3 that testify. And then number 8 says, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the 3 are in agreement. That's what it says. That is one of the main things that got me to put this Bible down. You know, I even saw Acts chapter 8, verse 37 missing and all that. That didn't bother me as much as when I saw that.
Well, they'll argue that's not in the manuscript.
That's what they say, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not in the Catholic manuscripts. They're not saying Catholic, though. But you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, you look at the King James, then you'll know what's going on. You know, those are the only 2 Bibles that match up, or the only Bible that matches up with the Dead Sea Scrolls is the... King James. This wire gets to be annoying. I'm looking for a wireless mic that I can trust, and I just can't seem to find one. All right, let's finish this up with this letter 168, December 1st, 1909. And then we'll go into Chapter 4 next week. I already got it on the server, so we're already set for that. All right, the message that I am bidden to bear to our people at this time is work the cities without delay, for time is short. The Lord has kept this work before us for the last 20 years or more. A little has been done in a few places, but much more might be done. I am carrying a burden day and night because so little is being accomplished to warn the inhabitants of our great centers of population of the judgments that will fall upon the transgressors of God's law. The enemy would rejoice to see the grand saving truth for this time confined to a few places. He is not inactive. He is instilling in the minds of men his deceptive theories to blind the eyes and confuse their understanding, that the saving truth may not be brought to their knowledge. Soon the Sunday laws will be enforced. And by the way, I don't know if there's anybody in here that's new to this Sabbath-keeping faith. And if you have come across anybody, online I'm talking about, that has said, oh, this stuff about Sunday law is a joke, there's no such thing. How much evidence do we need that not only Ellen White, but the original movement, the Ninth Hour movement, was prophesied and correct, and we are, we're in the proper position as the 11th Hour movement when we proclaim that there is going to be Sunday laws? I mean, they've been saying, you guys have been saying that there's no such, how does it not validate that message when you say there's going to be Sunday laws long before they come here and now they're here? How can it be bogus if they're happening? How can it be a lie that the Seventh-day Adventist Church started preaching many, many years ago and has stopped now, and now we're preaching it? How can it be a lie when they're actually passing these laws? If it was bogus, there shouldn't be Sunday laws. And now there's Sunday laws in just about, I think we counted somewhere upwards of 10 nations or 12 nations, including the USA. We've had Sunday laws here since the first Roman Catholic president, John F. Kennedy, put them in the law, the Blue Laws, in 1962. They haven't been really enforced except for in government agencies and some big businesses that decided to follow suit. But since January 1st of 1999, there was Sunday laws in Rhode Island. You had to have a work permit. They repealed them recently and changed the wording of the law, but it still says the same thing. You still need that work permit, because I just updated my Mark of the Beast page about that, because I tried to go to that page and they moved it again. I mean, I've had that Mark of the Beast page up there 4 years, and I don't know how many times that particular law in Rhode Island has been rewritten or the URL has changed. About 2 years ago, I put a little disclaimer on the bottom of the URL. It says, if this URL comes up dead, just Google Rhode Island House of Representatives and search out the law. You'll find it. Because I got sick and tired of changing it. Because they keep changing. They're moving it around to prevent the people from seeing it. Because there's people out there linking to it, and they don't want that. Because they could check the links. They could see where the links, where the hits are coming from. And if there's too much action on that one page, they move the link. That's all they got to do. It's that easy. Because I can do it. I see a bunch of action on certain pages on my site. I'm not going to move the link, but you know what I mean. You just see the action. All right, finishing up, it says, soon the Sunday laws will be enforced and men in positions of trust will be embittered against a little handful of God's commandment-keeping people. Satan seems... And wait, if you don't think that's possible, when the Jews were being attacked, granted they're Sabbath keepers, but they weren't followers of Christ, when they were being attacked, how many of us have seen the movies, or how many of us have heard the horror stories about your next-door neighbor who isn't a Jew, finds out you're a Jew? They yell to the Nazis, get them. Because if they don't, they're going to get it. You know, the person that isn't the Sabbath keeper. You hear about that all the time. The only reason they're turning in the Jews back then is because they were afraid if they didn't turn the Jews in, they would be shot for not doing it. Because the Nazis were that wicked, I guess. They were that mean. So they're going to do more or less the same thing to us. They're going to blame us, of course, for the plague. I mean, they've already started. What? December 26th, that tsunami. That preacher came out and told everybody in the world that the reason for the tsunami coming on Sunday, on December 26th, no less, was because people weren't going to church on Sundays. Yeah. He took that opportunity. He ran with it. And, of course, some of the mainstream religion says, oh, that's ridiculous, but they're always going to say that in the beginning just to get the feel of the scuttlebutt, to see what comes back. Yeah, and they're just licking their fingers, sticking up in the air, and see how which way is the wind going to blow on this one. If it blows in the direction they want, then you're going to hear that comment again. Just like they did with that one kid. What was that kid's name? that was in the woods. I keep forgetting that kid's name that they called a Christian terrorist. They did that thing too. They were testing the winds on him. That young kid that was hiding in the hills that they said he was the Olympic bomber. No, not Waco. You're thinking of the Unabom. No. No, McVeigh wasn't no Christian. No, I'm not talking about him. Is somebody in the room putting up the name or no? No. I'll think of it later. But I got it on my Urgent Breaking News page, where they actually coined the phrase. The media did it. They coined the phrase Christian terrorist. And the media has been doing that kind of thing about Christians for many, many years. How many times have we seen movies where, like, especially comedies, they'll do this in some comedies, where when they want to get a laugh out of the crowd, they'll have somebody put John 3:16 up, you know, a big card that says John 3:16, you know, in other words, there's a movie, it's about a football game, and they're making fun about something that's going on in the crowd, and all of a sudden somebody jumps up in the crowd with a John 3:16 sign, he's got a red nose like a clown, and he's got all this weird different color hairdo. They're making fun of the Christians. They've been doing that for, you know, making us look like weirdos, the real Christians. But anyway, so finishing up, it says, Satan seems to have permitted to gain many points of advantage, but the Lord will bring men of understanding from the various churches to combat the enforcement of a law that the first day of the week shall be honored as a day when no business shall be transacted. And next week we'll pick it up at Diet, Health, and Drugs, Pharmakia, the dangers of the pharmacy. The word sorcery in English comes back pharmacy or pharmakia, or the, what is it? What is one of the translations? One of the translations of pharmakia, and pharmakia is actually pharmacy in English. In other words, when you go to a pharmacy to get drugs, you're going to a pharmacy to get sorceries. There are many natural, everything that you need to be healed is already on the planet, and if not, you have a mighty God that will do it. And you'll be actually healed with the healing methods of the nature. But if you go to these regular doctors, all you'll get is a masked symptom. They'll just cover up your symptom. All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Then we got someone's going to do a children's story. Who's going to do the children? I think Mondo said he was going to do it. Is it Mondo, or who's going to do it? Who? What are they asking? Well, who's going to do the... Oh, Mondo's going to do it. Okay. All right, we'll be back in a couple minutes.